God, I appreciate that. Hey, y'all continue to pray that that the Lord would send us somebody to play the bass. Amen. I miss that, and we used to have somebody who played, and it just added to the service. And I'd like to have somebody who could play. Amen. I bought Katie one, and it's decorating the spare bedroom. She hadn't learned nothing. So anyway, she probably would if we get somebody to help her. But take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms chapter number 51 tonight. Psalms chapter number 51. I told you we was going to talk a little bit about revival tonight. We've got our camp meeting coming up. And I've told somebody years ago, and I've used this over and over again. Somebody asked me one time, I was up north, and I announced our camp meeting. And they said, a lady came to me after the service. She said, Pastor, what exactly is a camp meeting? Do you put up tents? I said, no, ma'am. I said, it's a term that comes from the old days. And they would put up brush arbor meetings and sometimes big tents. And people would come from miles and miles away and they'd stay 2 and 3 weeks at a time. I mean, it was a major, major deal. And I said, what that was a time where everybody didn't get to see everybody all the time like we do. They didn't have the cars and the internet and all that stuff. So it was time when all these churches could get together and see how the other ones were doing. And it was a time of encouragement, kind of like a pep rally. They were there just to cheer one another on. Amen? But over the years, our camp meeting, I've noticed, has not only been a time of a pep rally, of encouraging other preachers and other churches and each other, but it's also been a time of revival. I've seen God do some great things in our camp meeting. There have been key messages that have been brought over the years that have really, really impacted some of our lives. Some of them, I'll never forget as long as I live. As long as I live, I'll never forget Brother Harry Nix preaching on grace. How many of y'all remember that one? I'll never forget that. Brother Harry said, if you got anything better than that, roll it out here and let us look at it. Amen? I'll never forget Brother Joe Arthur preaching on one greater than Solomon. Amen. Never forget that as long as I live. I'll never forget Brother Earl Hughes talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget Brother Mike Taylor and just all these great messages we've heard. And I'm praying that this year we will have a time of revival. How many of you would agree we need revival? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Do we need revival? Let me speak for myself. Whether we need revival or not, I need revival. Yes, amen. I need revival. Somebody said revival is a great evangelistic campaign. No, a great evangelistic campaign is a result of revival. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Yes, that's a result of revival. People come to know Christ as their Savior as a result of God's own people getting right with God. Yes, yeah, amen. Revival is not so much of a group thing as it is an individual thing. Psalms 51, you know the story. David had sinned and committed the sin of adultery and even murder and deceit. And he gets confronted by the preacher and David's doing his best to get right with God. And the entire 51st Psalm is David praying about getting the power of God back in his life. I'm choking to death. I think a fly or a gnat went down my throat. Protein, amen. I don't know what it was. But this entire psalm is David getting right with God. And I'm going to read the whole thing here in just a minute. But I want you to notice a couple of things about this psalm. It's personal. Listen to me carefully. It is personal. Some of you ought to make up your mind in your heart personally, I'm going to have revival whether anybody else does or not. I'm not going to let it be dependent upon the church getting right with God. D.L. Moody said the way to start a revival was to draw a circle around yourself and pray God send revival to that circle. Amen. It's personal. Amen. Now, once one gets it, somebody else probably will too. It'll spread like a disease, but it's a good disease. Amen. It's a personal thing. It's between you and God. Revival is not about salvation. Revival is about bringing something back that was alive, amen, but has died. When we revive a patient, to revive means to bring back. When they take those paddles and say clear and wham on the chest, they're trying to bring back a heartbeat that is flatlined, that used to have life, amen. So what we want in revival is God to put life back in our soul and joy back in our spirit, amen, and power in our prayer, amen. That's what we want. That's what we're longing for. Psalms 51, let's read this. Now I'm going to show you tonight how to have revival, how to know you need revival. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." That's a lot of mercy. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." Look how he starts confessing. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This is not a sinner praying for salvation. This is a child of God who knows God in a very intimate way. Remember, it was David who played on his harp for God. It was David who walked with God. David had such a relationship with the Lord. But something caused that relationship to wane, to die off, to become cold, not what it used to be. Amen? He said, in verse number 8, "Make me to hear joy in gladness." He didn't say there wasn't any joy and gladness. He said, "Make me hear it." Somebody made the statement about not being fed in church. If you're not being fed in church, you're not listening. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He said, "Make me to hear it. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Have you ever sat in the middle of the service and folks are being happy and having a good time and you ain't getting nothing? Your spiritual ears are plugged up. He said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Boy, we ought to pray that every day. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted." When sinners going to be converted? After we get right. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Psalms 51. David is longing for something that's gone. When do we need revival? Let me give you several things. I'm just going to make some statements tonight, and that'll pretty much be the message. We need a revival when there is a lack of love and Christian influence among the brethren. When the love in the church waxes cold, we need revival. If we ever lose that thing where sinners walk in here or visitors walk in here and their first impression of our church is, man, they love each other. If we lose that, brother and sister, we need revival. You know why churches fight, fuss, and argue? Because they don't love one another. You know why churches split down the middle and they go off down the road and start another one, try to take half the members of this one? Hey, hurting a church is never the will of God. And if you love me, and if you love the people you're sitting in church with, you will never do them that way.
Amen.
Amen. When that love waxes cold, we need revival. When members of the church have fallen into scandalous sin, we need revival.
Amen.
Somebody makes a bad mistake, messes up, steps in it big time. First reaction of a church is usually to run its mouth. When it ought to break its heart. Y'all listening? If you're one of your children, let's say one of your daughters became pregnant, would that be something you would just want blabbed all over the church? Everybody's going to find out eventually. But that's not what you want the conversation of the church about. You don't want the church, the place where you need to get help and the place where you need to draw strength and the place you need to rebound from this mess that your family's in. You don't want that place looking down its nose at you.
Amen.
Amen. You want that place praying for you. Amen. When our hearts grow cold toward our brothers and sisters, it's time for revival.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you when revival's getting close. Revival's getting close when Christians begin to confess their sins one to another. That don't happen much anymore. We are finding more and more and more pride in the Baptist church than I've ever seen in my life.
Amen.
People have lost the ability to say, brother, I'm sorry, I did you wrong.
Amen.
We will never go further in the things of God till we learn to admit we are wrong. You know, there's some people who are so full of pride and indignation that they cannot admit they were wrong. You better learn to say, I'm sorry, or you won't never know happiness. You better learn to say, I was wrong. Hey, how did you get saved to begin with? God, you're right, I'm wrong. God, you're holy, I'm unholy. You couldn't even get saved without admitting that. So you sure can't expect to have revival and have God move through your soul in a mighty way if you cannot admit you have messed up. Amen. Personal sins, you need to confess them to God. But when you've hurt somebody, you need to go to them. We okay? I'm not one of these who like to advertise people's dirty laundry. I don't like to do that. I've been in churches, I've been in revival meetings where some of these knothead preachers will make one of their members get up and give acknowledgments and tell everything they've done wrong. That ain't nothing but an embarrassment. That's stupid. That's adding fuel to the fire. I agree with somebody say, hey, can I testify? I've let the church down, and boy, I prayed, and boy, as far as I know, my heart's right with God, and I want the church to forgive me too. There ain't nothing wrong with that. We all right? I lost my whole train of thought. I'm not for making a public spectacle out of people. But when we hurt one another, something ought to be done privately. I'd stop every church split in America if Christians would learn to say, hey, I'm sorry. You know what I've seen most of the time, and I may never even get to the rest of this message. I may finish it up Wednesday night. This is what I've seen most of the time. Say me and BJ have a problem. He asked me for a favor 2 weeks ago. He came to me before church got started tonight, and he said, and what it was is it's just a kind of a checklist to do before he puts his boat in the water. And he said, preacher, did you make that list? Oh. Now, he's not this shallow, but what if he got all sideways with me over that? What if he went home and pouted to his wife and said, the preacher don't love me, he don't care about my boat, blah, 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 and boy, got all upset, and I didn't even know I offended him, but I got wind of it. Now, if I don't go, you say, that's just silly. Most time it is.
Yeah.
Most of the time it is. When it's them big old horrible things, man, we draw up and unite together and we'll fight the devil tooth and nail. It's them little old silly, stupid things we fall out of. Amen. But 9 times out of 10, what I've witnessed, okay, I find out BJ's upset with me because I didn't write that list for him. Which he ain't, by the way. He invited me to just take me to the lake and show me. Hallelujah, there you go. 9 times out of 10, this is what I see. I come to BJ and say, BJ, I'm sorry, brother. It just slipped my mind. And it's all my fault. And BJ says, no, it's my fault, preacher. Don't worry about it. I should have reminded you or whatever. It usually works. It goes both ways. The one who was offended is going, no, brother, it's my fault. I shouldn't have got upset. I shouldn't have got hurt. Hey, man, it's not such a hard thing. I have never apologized to somebody that said, well, you ought to apologize. Amen. I've never sincerely apologized to somebody and never sincerely admitted my wrong to another Christian that they didn't put their arm around me and say, brother, it's okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But we are so, I don't know a better word, so forgive me, stupid. That we'll sit for months on end harboring a bad spirit, causing division and trouble in the church, all because we're so full of pride we can't cross the aisle and say, brother, please forgive me.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, if somebody comes to you and asks you to forgive them, if you don't, you're wicked.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Ooh, revival's coming when we start confessing to one another.
Yes.
Now, listen. If you've said something bad about somebody behind their back, don't go tell them what you said. Don't do that. And if you hear somebody say something about your neighbor behind their back, don't go tell your neighbor.
Well, I just thought you ought to know, brother, so-and-so was talking about you. I can't tell you what he said. That makes it worse.
That lets the imagination run wild.
Yeah.
But if you have been talking about somebody behind their back, maybe you could just go put their arm around them and say, brother, I talked about you the other day. I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Well, what'd you say? It don't matter. Amen.
Amen.
And if they do come to you, forgive them. Why? Why should I forgive them? Because you've probably said worse about them.
Yeah.
Amen. We okay tonight? Revival's near when we start to confess to one another and we get right with each other. We can expect revival when we get willing to make the sacrifices necessary. We can expect revival when we get willing to make the sacrifices necessary. We may have to sacrifice some time. We may have to sacrifice some feelings. Some of you sitting here tonight with your feelings hurt. I've probably hurt some of your feelings. I don't even know it. You can't stand in this pulpit as much as I stand in this pulpit and say as much as I say without hurting somebody's feelings. I'm sorry. It sure wasn't intentional. You may have to sacrifice those feelings. Amen. My wife hurt my feelings today. I'm not going to leave her. I was out there eating a hot dog. She said, I laugh like a girl. No, Ashley said it, and then she agreed. My whole family's turning on me. Can y'all believe she does me like that? She calls me muffin top, and I don't know what.
I wouldn't have told that.
You wouldn't have told that? Hey, brother, when I gain weight, it's a blessing. You said, you get mad at your wife? No, I didn't get mad at my wife. Huh? I'm not going to leave her over something so stupid. I'm going to whoop her and I'll get her home, but I'm not. I'm teasing. I'm not even mad at her. But I'm not going to leave my church over something so stupid either.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have to sacrifice some feelings sometime.
Yeah.
So are you. So are you. A couple of years ago, Brother Warren and his evil cohorts played a horrible joke on me. Horrible. Made me believe they were giving me a Harley Davidson. Really did. And gave me a little scooter instead. Horrible. Did you know the ladies of this church got madder at them than I did? Oh yeah. I thought Edwina was going to kill David, and I thought Sheila Mann was going to string Warren up. Do y'all know I actually thought that was funny? That was a good trick to play on somebody else. I mean, that was really, really good if it had been somebody else. Amen. But I didn't get mad at them. Why? We're human. We're going to get our feelings hurt. Why don't you just sacrifice that? Why don't you just put that on the altar and put your feelings aside? Amen. What's more important, your hurt feeling or revival? Your hurt feeling or God moving in your life?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, well. We're going to look at these scriptures tonight, and I'm going to give you a few things. How we know we need a revival. If you're writing these down, I want to give you some personal things. Some personal things. Just between you and God. Then there's public things. But personal things. Ingratitude. Cause you to need revival.
Amen.
What do you mean ingratitude? Unthankful.
Yes,
some of us are so blessed and we ain't even slowed down enough to say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We're focusing more on what's wrong instead of what's right. Hey, there's more right than there is wrong.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
We ought to thank God. We ought to thank Him 10,000 times a day.
Right.
And that wouldn't be enough. Amen.
Amen.
Ingratitude will cause you to need revival. Lack of love for God. He said we're supposed to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Another place He said with all our strength. Amen?
Amen.
Cause you to need revival. Neglecting your Bible reading will cause you to need revival.
Amen.
Neglecting your Bible reading. How much should I read? I love what a preacher said out in California a few years ago. He was talking about the thing of forcing yourself to read so much Bible every day and trying to read your Bible through in a year. He said, when I eat, do you know when I stop? It's when I get full. I read, do you get full? Some of you may have a real small appetite. Chapter may be all you can handle. But read it. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Well, well. You can tell if you need revival by the way you're performing your spiritual duties. How are you approaching your Sunday school class? How are you approaching your bus route? Are you fired up about it? Are you excited about it like you used to be? You may need revival.
Amen.
Amen. Self-denial. Boy, that's a big one. How you been doing it telling yourself no? Yeah, but I won't. Who cares? That's my big one right there. Oh, I don't have no problem telling Brother Freddie no. But I got a problem telling this no. I don't have no problem telling Katie. Well, yeah, I do. Brat gets anything she wants. Left me a note up here on the pulpit. Daddy, can we go to Waffle House after church? No. I did it. I'll cave in a little while, but I don't have no problem telling somebody else no, but I have a hard time telling me no.
Yeah.
Amen? It's a good sign I may need revival. A lack of being serious is a good sign I need revival. Serious about the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Getting a little too worldly minded may be a good sign I need revival. Amen?
Yeah.
Now listen, let me give you seven things right quick. That was seven personal things. But let me give you seven things we need to see if we want to have revival. Or seven things we need to just get fed up with. And verse number 10, I want you to look. Psalms 51 and verse number 10. I'll run through these and we'll go to the house or Waffle House. Amen. Verse number 10. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Listen, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get sick of a dirty heart. If we're going to have revival, we're going to have to get sick of a dirty heart. It's so easy to get sick of somebody else's sin, but hey, I got to get sick about mine. Remember, it's personal.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And that's what David said. Hey, he said, my heart's dirty. He said, create in me a clean heart. You know what? David tried to clean it up.
Yeah.
Actually, he wasn't trying to clean it up. He's trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
Amen. He knew where he had to go to get it clean. He had to go to where it got clean to start with.
Amen.
Amen. Or we're going to have to get sick of a dirty heart. Number two, look at verse number 17. Verse number 17. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise." He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Hey, not only are we going to have to get sick of a dirty heart, we're going to have to get sick of having a wrong spirit. Y'all with me? We got to get sick. We'll never have revival with a bad spirit. Do you ever get one?
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all talk to me. You ever get a bad spirit?
Yes.
Man, I do. Boy, I can come in here. That right there can ruin my spirit. Walk in here and the microphone don't work. Gets under my skin. Sound man won't look at me when I need him. Kills my spirit. Amen. I can get a bad spirit. We all do. It's going to happen. But we've got to learn how to get rid of that thing. Quick. We've got to learn how to get rid of that bad spirit. Quick. Listen, we've got folks in our church right now. I don't mean folks that are out tonight. I'm talking about sitting on the pew right now. You've got a critical spirit. Did you know I pray for God to keep that from me? I do not want a critical spirit. A person with a critical spirit experiences no real joy. Why? Because you're looking for something wrong with everything. Well, that's a good song, but you got a critical spirit. Come on, y'all, talk to me. Well, I made a request for a song and they didn't sing mine. So you didn't get nothing out of the ones that did sing. You got a critical spirit.
Amen.
Don't be critical. How many of you would admit I tend to be a little too critical?
Yes,
sir. Well, we need to pray God take that away.
Yes, sir.
We need to pray. Hey, I know sometimes we look and we see things that are wrong, but it's not your place to point them out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You ever met that Christian who no matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you have, they've done it bigger, they've done it better, and they've got it better? They're critical. They're critical. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? You'll sit and listen to a sermon like Brother Freddie preached to you the other Wednesday night when I was gone, and you'll take one thing he said and absolutely let that one thing destroy all the truth he tried to give you by being critical. You all right? We need to pray and ask God. I want revival. So God take this critical spirit. Amen. A haughty spirit. A haughty spirit. Full of yourself. pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. When you get to thinking you something, when you nothing, you're going down. When you get to thinking you're better than me, you're headed in a downward direction. That's a haughty spirit. Well, bless God, if I could have done the preaching, I'd have done way better than that. You got a haughty spirit.
Amen.
There was a guy preached in Sister Cindy's mother's funeral this afternoon. I forget his name. I met him one time before. And he got up to preach, and as soon as he got up, he has had a stroke. And you could barely understand a word he said. He thought, you couldn't understand him, really. And boy, that old boy touched my heart. He did. Man, what he said, God used him to touch my heart. Y'all all right? Now, you know, it'd have been real sorry of me to sit there and get critical of him. Because he couldn't talk plain and you couldn't hardly understand nothing he said. The preacher was sitting next to me, kept yakking my ear off. I wanted to tell him, shut up, I want to hear what that man's saying. Haughty spirit. We got a bunch of young preachers in here. Well, I don't want to get in the place where I think I'm better than they are. I may have more experience than they do, but I'm not better than they are. How dare you sit in a service and look at a young preacher and sit there and cross your arms like you're a know-it-all? God will use the simple to confound the wise.
Amen.
Amen. He may use some little old kid preacher that's preaching his first sermon and his knees are knocking together and bring a simple truth to you out of the Word of God that'll change your life forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, if you'd quit being so haughty, you might get some help.
Yeah.
Haughty, full of yourself. Won't you realize when you come in here, you need help? You say, how do you know I need help? You're human. You're full of faults and failures, full of sin. Amen. We need help. Y'all all right? Was in Texas back in September. We passed a big old beautiful brand new church facility. $28 million sanctuary. Can you say $28 million sanctuary? Oh, my sight. Never seen nothing like it. Had a coffee shop blow, in the foyer, had a coffee shop blow Starbucks out of the water. They ain't never seen no like it. I told that preacher who I was with, I said, I want to stop and look at that building if we got time. He said, they ain't got the right Bible. I said, I don't care. He said, they got contemporary rock music. I said, I don't care. They do got a nicer building than I do. I don't want their Bible. I don't want their doctrine. I don't want their music. But I sure would like to walk through and see how they're doing some things. Boy, y'all dry up on me. I don't give a flip. Amen. I'll get a good idea anywhere I can. I'm not too good. And that's the feeling I got. These other preachers, women, we're too good to go in there. If nothing's going to jump on you, dude.
Amen.
And you know what? Both of those guys came out. One preacher was going to start a Christian school in Arkansas, and they built this big old building, but they never did start the school, so they got this big old empty building. We walked through that children's ministry. The place where you check in your children was about a 25-foot-long saltwater aquarium, and it was awesome. I want one. I won't put bass in it, though. Amen? Boy, we got in a truck, and he got a piece of paper out of his Bible, and he was just a-writing. I said, you getting a sermon, brother? He said, no, brother, I got some ideas. I know what I'm going to do with that building back there in Arkansas now.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If we wouldn't be so haughty, we might get some help.
Exactly. Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
A critical spirit, a haughty spirit. And here's the worst one of all. That's a bitter spirit.
Yes,
a bitter spirit. Some of you are harboring bitterness in your heart, and until you let that go, you're never going anywhere. And I've preached bitterness up one side and down the other, so I ain't going to beat you to death with it tonight. But listen, if you've got a bitter spirit, you better pray that God would take that away.
Amen.
It's not just something you let go of, but it's something you got to ask God to help you with. When you get mad, bless God, you're mad. When you get hurt, you're hurt. You can't fix it. But you got to be willing. The reason some of you are still bitter about things that may have happened years ago. The reason you're still bitter about it, because you're harboring it. You're petting it like a dog. You're finding some kind of comfort in your bitterness. You need to let that thing go. Amen. You will hinder. You're not going to hinder me having revival. But you're going to hinder you having revival. I can honestly check my heart tonight and say I'm not bitter. You say, yeah, but ain't anybody ever done you wrong? Oh, yeah. But I ain't bitter about it. They weren't going to have to answer for what they did to me, not me. I'm going to sleep tonight. We okay?
Amen.
Bitterness will kill you. Bitterness will kill you. I know people who are out of church tonight whose children will die and go to hell if they don't get saved because they got mad over something. They got bitter. Some of you are still in church. You got bitter about a decision I made. You ain't been the same since. You've not been the same since. The joy, the glow, the testimonies you used to give, they're gone. Why? Because you got bitter at me. You say, yeah, but you made a mistake. You got a couple of hours? We'll make a list. I've made more than I can count. I've made bad decisions as a pastor. You ever made a bad decision in your marriage? Did you get divorced over it? I hope not. If you did, you're an idiot. Listen to me. You ever made a bad decision raising your children? Sure you have. I made a bunch of bad decisions. Do you know how many churches I pastored before I became your pastor? None. Do you know where I went to Bible school? Nowhere. So on OJT, amen? On the job training. I've made a bunch of mistakes. But you know what? I've watched you over the years. You've made some boo-boos yourself. You've made some pretty good blunders yourself. I've watched you make horrible financial decisions. I've watched you make horrible decisions with children, and I mean you name it. I ain't mad at you. We okay? When I see you do that, you know what? It comforts me. I'm like, I ain't the only stupid one around here. Amen. They as dumb as I am. We all make bad decisions. So you know what we do? We forgive each other without even having to ask. I like what my mother says when I'm preaching. If I say something off color, and she thinks a lot of stuff's off color. My mom says, snot's a cuss word. I mean, really. And if you'll listen, Mama will sit back there, bless him, Lord. Every time she says that, I'm like, what'd I say? What'd I say? Bless him, Lord. Everywhere I go off and preach, these people that come to our meeting say, we love your mama to death. Bless him, Lord. They mock her everywhere I go. You know what you need to do? Somebody says something stupid. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody makes a bad decision you don't like. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just quietly say, bless him, Lord.
Amen. Sure.
Help him, God. He ain't got sense enough to get out of shower or rain. If his brains was dynamite, Lord, he couldn't blow his nose. Help him. Help that boy. Amen. That's what Brother Charles used to do. Brother Charles, I was scared to death of him when I started pastoring this church. He knew the whole Bible front to cover. I had one sermon, changing the title of it 3 times a week, just preach over and over. No, I really didn't, but it's about that bad. I had no idea what I was doing. Brother Charles with all that wisdom. You know how many times he corrected me? Anybody got any idea how many times Brother Charles ever corrected me? Zero. Zero, zero, zero. He's got on to me one time in 15 years and cried like a baby when he done that. Oh yeah, come to my house. Let me have it in the driveway. You know what I said? Yes, sir. Something bad had happened, and he had to hear about it. Huh? I deserved it. I know I did. Thank you, Brother Freddie. There's a time for amen, there's time just hush. Amen. I'm admitting it all by myself. No, I did. Not one time. How many mistakes you think he sat and watched me make? I'd say stuff while I was preaching, he'd go, Or he'd mumble, yeah, oh, brother. Amen. Sick of a dirty heart. Sick of a wrong spirit. It's not enough to realize we got a bad spirit. We need to get sick of it. Yeah, amen. Verse number 11. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Thirdly, not only being sick of a dirty heart and a wrong spirit, but we ought to get sick of having no fellowship with God. Have you ever went through a spiritual drought where you just felt like heaven didn't move and God didn't speak? I'm talking about no fellowship with God. And normally, that's not God's fault. It's ours. I promise you, He wants to fellowship with you more than you do with Him. Has it been a long time since the Holy Ghost rode to work with you? Can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about getting the car and you're just scared you're going to wreck. It just gets plumb dangerous. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's nothing but you praying on your way to work. And boy, God just gets real. You know what that is? That's communion. That's fellowship. I think God loves it, those private times when we just sit and weep. No big, long, beautiful prayer. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Huh? How long has it been since you had that? When you didn't even have to work it up. Where you know for a fact they wasn't nothing what this dead crowd calls emotionalism. By the way, it's all emotionalism. Joy is an emotion. Tears are an emotion. So is a scowl, frown on your face. It's all emotion. Amen. If I'm happy emotional, you're grumpy emotional. We okay? We got to get to a place. If we're going to have revival, we got to get to a place where we're sick of having no fellowship with God. Number four, not only sick of a dirty heart, a wrong spirit, and sick of no fellowship with God. Verse number 12. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me. He didn't say, give me back my salvation. He said, give me back the joy of it. He didn't ask to get saved again. He said, make me happy about it again. We've got to get to the place, if we're going to see revival, we're going to have to get to the place where we're sick of not being able to worship. Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't worship? I have. It can be getting plumb out of the banks around here. People piling up in the altar, shouting, praising God, crying. I mean, God moving. And you sit there like a brick. And some of you, there's a time when you'd have been leading the pack. What happened? You got to a place where you can't worship. By the way, this ain't worship. It doesn't even resemble it. Yeah. I'm not scolding you now. I'm talking about having revival.
Yes, sir.
You get your joy back, you'll worship.
Yes.
Listen to me. You get your joy back, you will worship. You get happy about being saved again, you will worship.
Amen.
I've watched that girl change, Miss Legina, since she got saved. My goodness, boy. You know what she does now? She worships the Lord. And God done. She's still happy about her salvation.
Amen.
You say, yeah, but she hadn't been saved but just a few months. What's your excuse?
Yeah.
David said, yet will I praise thee the more.
Yeah,
the older we get, the longer we've been saved, the more we ought to praise. You ought to be out shouting her.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, are you glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Glad you're going to heaven when you die? Why don't you just clap your hands a little bit? Amen. What's wrong with us? You say, oh, I don't like all that clapping. That's charismatic. You're an idiot. The Lord commanded them in Psalms to clap their hands. He said, clap your hands, all ye people. Amen. I preach in churches, son. They'd fall over dead. If somebody clapped their hands.
Oh, brother, applause. I said,
oh, man, shut up. I'm so sick of hearing that mess.
Amen.
You know what applause is? It's worship.
That's it.
Standing ovations. You know what that is? It's worship.
Amen.
Now, I ain't saying who you're worshiping. Maybe the Atlanta Braves. How did they do for you this year? Hey, I got the tomahawk chopped down pat, brother, and I ain't scared to use it. But I'm not going to worship a ball team more than I worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I got that television on yesterday before we left to go to the funeral home. I knew I was just going to get to see just a little bit of that ball game, listen to the rest of it on the way on the radio, but I cut that thing on the first play of the game. Georgia intercepts a ball and runs it in the end zone. I said, yes. Then I caught myself, let's not get too carried away. Let's not get too emotional. Fluid. I run the kitchen, told Angie. I run the bedroom, told Katie. First play of the game. First play, a touchdown. Hey, hey, first crack out of the bath this morning, people getting saved, born again, laying on the altar, begging God to forgive them. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Sick of no worship. Cold. No spirit to warm our hearts. Man, you pray and ask God to give that joy back. Some of you lost your joy. You just don't want to say it out loud. You don't want us to know it, but we do. Won't you ask God to give you joy back where you can worship again? Where those tears will flow down your cheek again. Where you'll feel the Spirit of God move in a service like we have around here. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 13. He said, now, verse number 12, after I get my joy back, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Here's what he said now. After I get right, then I'm going to have an influence on somebody else. If we want revival, we're going to have to be sick of maybe having a bad influence on somebody else. He said, after I get my joy back, then will I have an influence on somebody else. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Now watch this. Don't miss the wording in this King James Bible. Like the preacher said in North Carolina, if yours don't say this, you may have you a Queen James Bible. Amen? He said, then will I teach transgressors who? Thy ways, not their ways. Thy ways. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, I like that. But before that's going to happen, Hey, we got some young couples in our church. They need help. They need encouragement. We've got some folks in our church, to be honest with you, they just flat out need a friend. Is Brother Tony back there tonight? Tony Avery? Brother Tony's not here tonight, so I'm going to talk about him behind his back, okay? Brother Tony lost his wife. Brother Tony was a captain, I think, with the fire department. Brother Tony entered into a bad fire with his men, lost two of them, I think, and a third nearly died. Brother Tony struggles with that. He slips into church and he sits right back there to himself. He's quiet. He doesn't say much. You know what he needs? He needs a friend. Somebody take an interest in his life. But before you can make a difference in his life, you may have to get a difference made in your own. Amen. We got some young ladies in our church that need some older ladies to show them about God.
Yeah.
Amen. Godliness.
Yes, sir.
That's yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We got some young men that need some good examples.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But before we can be the examples we ought to be, we may have to get on this altar and get our joy back.
Yeah.
So that we can have an influence on these others. Amen. Mm. Let me close with this one, verse 14. He said, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He said, God, deliver me of my blood guiltness. You know what? We may not only have to get sick of a dirty heart and a wrong spirit, no fellowship with God, not being able to worship, sick of a wrong influence on others, but we may just have to get sick of ourselves. Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I do not like what I've become? Before you'll ever change, you're going to have to get sick of it.
Yes.
I don't know about you. I need revival.
Yes, sir.
I've been praying already about our camp meeting. You know what I've been praying? Every sermon would be for me. A little greedy, I guess. I want you to get... I figure if it helps me, it'd probably help you too.
Amen.
Amen. The devil's after us. He's attacking families. He's attacking homes. More than you know. I'll go to every section in this church and tell you where the devil's working. Stuff I know that are going on in your lives. He's trying to stop what God's doing here. And not only what God is doing, but what God desires to do. He's not done. I know Brother Warren's saying the rapture's coming tomorrow. Let's just all lay down. Wait. No, he doesn't say that. But it'd be okay if he come tomorrow. But we're going to have to work like it's we got 100 years. Amen. He's fighting. I believe we're at that verse in Revelation where he said that the devil come down having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. I don't know what a short time may be. Maybe a month. Maybe 20 years. I don't know. But I know he's upset. And we need God to strengthen us in a mighty way. My pastor, Brother Earl, his old church in Rockmart, Cedartown. They used to sing a song that opened every service with it. It's in one of the hymn books, Bind Us Together with Love. You ever heard that, Brother Todd? Bind Us Together with Love. And what that song's saying, it's not an ooey-gooey, kumbaya kind of thing, you know, but God, make us stronger. Bind our hearts together. Amen? That's the kind of revival we need. We need a revival that'll make our church stronger. The devil's trying to weaken it right now. He is. He's trying to weaken some ministries. He's trying to weaken some outreach. He's trying to weaken some classes. We need to get stronger. And I know for a fact, unless God changes His heart, I know what Brother Fisher will preach Wednesday night and Thursday night. And if you miss it, you will have missed two of the greatest messages you may ever hear as far as helping our church.
Amen.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you, and you will not get it off a CD. Thursday night, He will use illustrations that there ain't no way you can see on a CD. You've got to be here. God, do it for us.
Amen.
Help us, oh God, to have revival.
Amen.
Let's draw a circle around ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's ask God to send revival in that circle. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm battling. If you're battling, you need it as much as any of us.
Yes.
Need what? Revival. Remember what I said? It's personal. You're having revivals not dependent on the whole church having revival. That's up to you. You can have revival in your closet all by yourself. We've got to the place, and I'm done, Brother Todd, if y'all would come to the piano. I don't know if it'd even be possible. Did Elizabeth leave? She did, okay. I think there is such a misconception about what revival really is in America. We think revival's a great meeting, and it is, but it's a great meeting with you and God. We think it's about a big, huge crowd of people showing up. Ain't got nothing to do with numbers. All it's got anything to do with is a relationship. Yours and the Lord's. How many of you want revival? That's everybody. The difference is those who get it and those who don't is how bad you want it. How bad you know you need it. Let's stand our feet tonight. They're going to sing for us. And let's just mind the Lord.